Chris Dagan I met, and he kind of laid out what the procedure is going to be, the subject and process of each day for the camp this summer, and we need to be in fervent prayer. One thing Satan hates is Jesus Christ, and that's the theme and the momentum of camp this summer, teaching these young people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as their life, and as the rock of their life. So, that in mind, I want you to get ready for it. Let's look at hymn number 66. And I want this to sort of set the pace for you, for your prayer life, until, what's Monday? July the what, Chris? First day of camp. 23rd, and then that week, but every day from now until July the 23rd, should be in prayer for camp, different ways. Now that you know the subject that the teachers are going to be teaching, the counselors are going to be counseling, people are going to be working with these young people, is knowing Jesus Christ that gives you even more dynamic to your prayer life. So let's stand and sing all the verses of There Is a Name I Love to Hear.
Sing its words, it sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Let me first of all explain why my wife is wearing sunglasses. It is not because she still thinks she's on the ocean, but she had a major surgery. Like, gosh, it just sounds horrible. Took out an eyelid, put in a new eyelid, and you had the same surgery.
A lens.
The lens, it took it out. That's why I'm not a doctor. But I went in for my quadruple heart bypass the night before, or the morning of. I had a shower and then redo some ink work that they had done on my body, go over it. And I had Rod Richmond draw a heart over here and an arrow pointing this way. And the surgeon told me he got in more trouble from his friends after that. Ah, your patient doesn't even trust you know where the heart is. Okay. Thank you all for that wonderful hymn. Let's see. Let me start off with this Wednesday night. We will not have class. I missed the pastor's conference, and I'm not complaining, James Promotion to Heaven, and this is the week of the Grace Evangelical Society's yearly conference, and so Monday through Thursday, and so I'll be going, by the way, it's open to everyone, and I'm looking forward to seeing the people there again that I've had an opportunity to meet. So we will not have class this Wednesday night. I'm sorry, but I do want to attend the Grace Evangelical Society meeting Monday through Thursday. It's going to be at Hope, which is right here in Plano. Thank you for asking. Hope is on Custer and Plano Parkway, right across from the Muslim mosque. But there's a beautiful building called Hope, and that's where the Grace Evangelical Society will be meeting Monday through Thursday, starting Monday, I think, around noon, and going through Thursday around noon. So please be in prayer for the meeting. It's always very effective, very good. Really enjoyed it last year, so looking forward to meeting the people again and having a part of that. Now, as most of you know, I do like to look at history each morning. And on May the 16th, the Roman Catholic Church burned five reformers. In 1569, Dirk Wilhelm was burned at the stake because he was an Anabaptist. Now, you have to appreciate what's going on here. The Catholic Church taught, if they sprinkled, you're saved. That's salvation. The Anabaptists were saying, no baptism for the for an infant. So that's why you have to, if you're a Catholic, you have to cut that out. And so they burned him at the stake. What's interesting with Willem is that the man that turned him in custody, Willem saved his life. He was chasing him across an ice pond. The one pursuing him fell into the ice, into the frozen water. Willem turned around, came back, pulled him out, drug him to the shore, clean him up, and then he arrests him and takes him in and has him burned at the stake. So, no good deed goes unpunished. All right, now, 1576, this one's important. 1576, Jeremiah II wanted to try, 1576, try to put together what the Reformation was saying and the Roman Catholic Church. I want you to listen to this. This is official Roman Catholic proclamation. There are two sources of truth: the Bible and sacred tradition. By having a sacred tradition, the Roman Church is right. So, and by just the Bible, Martin Luther's right. So it comes down to, what is your source of truth? Is it the Bible or is it tradition? The traditions of man. Now, let's start off with prayer. I talked to John Hintz just this morning on email. There's no change as far as reports of the Risleys. People, you've got to appreciate John Hintz. He's so morbid and he's so direct. He said, I said, well, no news is good news. He said, well, unless they're all killed and we're not hearing from them. I said, well, that's an encouraging thought. Thank you, John. But be in prayer for all of their safety, Bill and Pat, Grady and Cheryl and their family, Courtney and her family, that they will continue to be protected by God the Holy Spirit from the cartel. And secondly, that somehow God could perform a miracle and that the cartel will move to another route that will take them to another city. See, the reason they're occupying their city is they're on a route for their drugs. And they want to be able to control that whole route. And so just pray that they will change their route, therefore change their city and get out of where they are. But it is not stopping any of the Risleys from presenting the gospel. And so just continue to be in prayer for their safety at this time. And that's all that I can tell you in regard to that. Now, The last I heard about Dalton was Friday. Do you have an update since Friday, hon?
He had gone to the doctor on Friday.
Yes.
So you heard about that?
Yes.
So then, no, I don't really. He just told me, Grandma, I'm feeling better every day.
Good.
And that's basically all I know.
So you talked to him. I didn't do that.
I texted with him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he said that, Leah told me that the doctor was a physician assistant, and she said they didn't need another scan.
Good.
The abscess is not gone. So she wants them to scan him again because they put him on 2 more weeks of
very good
the body.
Yeah.
And so that's up to the insurance, I think, or the doctor, one of the other doctors. You know, there's 4 doctors involved. So,
let's be in prayer for the doctor's agreement for his best security and God's plan. Let's continue to be in prayer for his mom and dad as they continue to work with him. Be in prayer for Dalton, for continual health. And,
You know, he works at their church.
Yes,
that's what he does.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, too, because I think that he, being out of the picture, has caused their communications, because that's what he's doing, is keeping their flock, he communicates with them. And so it's important that we pray that Satan's not going to throw a wrench in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we need to pray for the assembly.
Yes.
Not just the doctors, not just Dalton, not his family, but the assembly.
Yeah.
And that's his effectiveness. So please be in prayer for the assembly, that Satan doesn't use this to bring in negative factors and absence of things in the assembly. So that's a very important prayer. All right, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
My cousin Stevie, his wife Barb, she's had cancer before and has come back really strong. She has a tumor like in her head, kind of erupted, and now she's in a coma.
How old is Barb?
55.
Mm-hmm. People, please be in prayer. Whatever God is doing, that God will work it out to his glory. And let's be in prayer for Jerry and his healing of his arm. We care about your arm. We care. Yeah, but your reason is first. All right, any other prayer requests? Anything? Yes, Ken.
Thanks for prayer. We got to Lubbock and back without any damage to the car. There were people behind us. That ended up in a hailstorm with hail damage, and they parked under a tree to get out of the storm. They were near a house, and a trampoline was lifted up and hit the car.
You just got to figure, God wants this car scratched.
So my wife's new car is okay.
Yes.
There's a family that is involved with our youth group and camp, the Barrera family.
Barrera family.
Pray for the family
all together. Okay. Be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
My sister's surgery went well the other day on that melanoma deal. And not on a personal, not on a political sense, but on a personal sense right now, I was with Angela and Ken Paxton the other night, and they need some special prayers because of the traditional marriage and Christianity thing. They're being attacked. Unbelievable. The amount of money that they're pouring into Texas.
Okay.
Time.
Thank you for telling us. Yes?
Christy, Cindy Edwards' family, just a lot of things going on. They all need prayer.
For your family?
No, Cindy Edwards.
Cindy Edwards' family, yes.
Yeah.
That's our faithful follower in Wichita Falls. Absolutely. All right, any other prayer? Yes?
My grandson, Chase.
Okay, we'll be in prayer. Let's be in prayer for him. God knows what he's going through. God knows what he needs. Leave it up to God. Be in prayer. And be in prayer for Eve and her wisdom in dealing with him. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Chris, you want to say anything about camp?
You said pray.
Right.
Yeah, we're going up today to just check the facilities out and see some things that are going on up there. But just keep praying.
Have the blob.
We're open.
Okay.
We had a little bit of an issue with the blob last year. It wasn't there. Yeah, it was actually there. We couldn't use it. So there was a problem with the civil engineering corps and the Houston. So I think they've got that straightened out.
Good. Hope so.
We'll see.
The teaching's important, but Blob is right there alongside of it with these young people.
Beat them into submission.
Any other? Yes.
Child, someone told her to put garlic on her face to help her skin or something, and it ended up burning her skin.
I bet it would.
So she's dealing with that. I don't know what.
Eat garlic. You don't smear it all over you. Oh, we'll be in prayer. Thank you. All right, any other prayer requests? No prayer is too little, too big for our God. He's our Father. We can pray to Him. And He'll answer in these regards. So, okay, one more prayer request for Jim Langston. Continue to be in prayer for his upper body, spinal cord and all, and his hip. Please be in prayer that the doctors will figure out what to do for him. And that he can be relieved of pain. Yes, he's in pain. It's not my teaching that causes him to look that way. It's a pain in his hip. So please be in prayer for Jim Langston at this time. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace to faith, for it is the Holy Spirit who guides on how we should manage our time and our money. With these things in mind, people, we have wonderful opportunities here. We're a small, humble assembly. Make no doubt about it, I'm aware of that. But we have been given wonderful opportunities with the youth, missionaries. By the way, we're going to send $100 this month to the Risleys and the internet outreach. We have a lot of different outreaches for an humble assembly. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the opportunities and the privileges that God has given us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for our so great a salvation. And now, Father, we've been left here on earth after we've been saved. We've been left here for your plan, your purpose. Therefore, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you receive these offerings and use them. Continue to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Does anyone not have the handout, since you have been raised up with Christ? Anyone not have a copy? Okay. With these things, let us prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God in prayer. We now move in chapter 3 with serving the Lord. We studied chapters 1 and 2, the preeminence of Christ, preeminence in creation, preeminence in redemption, preeminence in the church. Now we come to chapter 3. He's preeminent in our lives, why we should follow him and serve him. Let's begin with the word of prayer. The Holy Spirit will cause this passage to come alive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are so many doctrines in the Word of God. Only a few are crucial to our eternal life. But there are many that are crucial in regard to our living the Christian life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Growing in the knowledge of Christ. Serving Christ. Living our lives in light of where He is now. Father, we pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You would have us to see in this passage. In Christ's name, amen. Last week we saw in chapter 2, since you have died with Christ. This morning we begin in chapter 3, since you have been raised up with Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up, not if, but since, the reality of every believer in Christ, since you have been raised up with Christ, all right, since you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. This will relieve you of a lot of pressure, sufferings, and problems in life. If you will set your mind on things above, not on things below, it will relieve parents of a great deal of pressure. It will relieve us all of a great deal of pressure. We leave our, put our life, set our mindset on the things above. Now, the Protestants, the dependent clause of a conditional sentence is introduced by the first class condition and should be translated since, introducing the condition of fact for everyone who has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. And this introduces the basis for our exhortation that follows in chapter 3 and 4. Therefore, the Greek inferential particle is used here to pick up the sequence of thought from 2:20, since you have died with Christ. Therefore, since you've died with Him, now by the grace and power of God, since you have been raised up with Him. It is sad, but true fact, that few Christians even understand what it means to have died with Christ, and even fewer understand what it means to be raised up with Christ. Since you have been raised up, this is an aorist passive. Let me just jump ahead. Aorist tense, point of time, faith in Christ, passive voice, something we receive by grace. The indicative mood, reality. Of the compound verb, to be raised up together with. The aorist is a point in time when you believed in Christ as Savior. This is your status as being in Christ. Who are you? Who are you? Well, this morning in our 9:15 class, which, by the way, people, is a very important study. We're beginning our look now, our journey on spiritual love, loving as Christ loved. I hope to have it set the framework for a book. But this morning was the first class in dealing with it, and we studied here, taking up the condition for the need of a new commandment. And that condition started off with Christ knowing all things, knowing about Himself. And the question comes, what do you know about yourself? And does what you know about yourself influence your life and decisions? So the aorist tense is a point in time when you believed in Christ. This is your status. The passive voice is important here. This is grace. You receive it. You do nothing to be raised up with Christ. And faith is like doing nothing because there is no merit in faith. No work in it, no merit in it. And the indicative mood is the mood that states absolute status, reality. You cannot lose this. I don't care what happens. You can deny Christ later on. You can reject Him. You can live a sinful life. You cannot lose being raised up with Christ. Think of all the things God has to undo if you can lose your salvation. If a person is truly saved at 7 years of age, no matter what happens through their life, If you say they could lose their salvation, God's got to unbarn them, take back His righteousness, take back 34 things that He's given to them. What kind of God do you have? That's very confusing. And then after He takes it all back, dealing with the fickleness of man, oh, well, now I believe in Him. All right, I'll give it all back to you. No, that isn't the way it works. It's yours once you believe in Jesus Christ. So, the indicative mood refers to the past reality of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. You have been raised up to new life in Christ. Here again is a great problem with all those who think that a born-again believer can lose their salvation. Just what I've just said. So let's just jump down. What is the significance of being raised up with Christ? All right? What does that mean? Foremost, this refers to the revivification by Christ of everyone who believes in Him as Savior. One of the reasons few believers even understand this concept is that they do not understand that we are born into the world physically alive and spiritually dead. So when one believes Jesus Christ, one of the 34 things that happens, you are revived. No, you will not feel this. Not a feeling, not an emotion. You not feel being raised up with Christ. That is, you are restored to spiritual life. You are raised up to new life in Christ. We must understand spiritual death to grasp spiritual life. This is the inability to have fellowship with God. We are born spiritually dead. Imputation of Adam's original sin to us, resulting in our spiritual death. This is a blessing from God, not a curse. Before we can be revived, we must have lost our original creation in Adam. In Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22. What does that mean? We all died spiritually. But, as 1 Corinthians 15:22 adds, in Christ, all will be made alive. That is, spiritually alive. One, Adam. In Adam, we're born spiritually dead. Two, being born spiritually dead, we commit personal sins. Three, the wages of personal sins is death. Four, since we are born spiritually dead, we cannot pay the debt. Five, out of love, grace, and mercy, Jesus Christ paid the debt for the entire human race. The payment, the payment of this debt does not result in salvation. For salvation, we must have perfect righteousness. There are two parts of the gospel, negative and positive. The negative, taking away the sins. The positive is, are you righteous before God? You must have the imputation of God's perfect righteousness. Both are necessary for the truth of the gospel. The payment of the sins and the imputation of righteousness. Seven, then we are declared by the holiness of God to be revived. Back to spiritual life in being raised up with Christ. Eight, therefore, the life we now live is no longer our lives, but Christ, who lives in us, Galatians 2:20. And when we consider all that Jesus Christ has done for us, namely that Christ died for us, we are so controlled by that magnitude of love that we now have the desire, should have the desire, to live our lives for Christ. People, please be in prayer for camp this for the next 2 days, to the 23rd. This is what we want to impart to the largest group of young people we've had. That's not a big deal because we don't really, aren't that happy about it. We've got 5 months for them all, but we will. But the main thing is to teach them who Christ is. He is their life, to live their life for Christ. He's died for them. we lift to him. Please be in prayer for the teachers. Jody Brown will be coming in from Indiana. Chris Dagg will be teaching. I will be teaching. And then a number of counselors, cabin counselors, and various counselors will be teaching. Please be in prayer for them. And I mean starting now. Be in prayer for the young people. The Holy Spirit can start preparing their soul to want to learn about Jesus Christ. Be in prayer for all the teachers that they will be guided as they prepare for the teaching, what the Holy Spirit would have them to say. Now, again the question, what is the significance of being raised up with Christ? One, this refers to the revivification by Christ of everyone who believes in Him as Savior. Two, this is a past experience that happened to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ at the point you believed in Christ. Three, this is by grace, and therefore through faith of the believer. Colossians 2:12. Four, by virtue of being raised with Christ, we have a new relationship with Him. Think about this. When you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, one of the 34 things that happens was a sharing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So no matter how phenomenal we make it, you share in it. Five, on the negative side, this is not experiential resurrection. We must understand this to clearly understand two seemingly contradictory statements. I sit at my desk and I'm studying. I know where it's coming from, and you know I know, Holy Spirit. I'm sitting there, well, where's that coming from? Wait, how am I going to do that? And I've got to take time. This came to me, and I have to show it to you. So, the negative side. It's not experiential. So let's take a look at two seemingly contradictory statements in our own book, Colossians. The phrase in Colossians 2:10, in Him you have been made complete, and are having died with Christ and raised with Him. B, the apparent contradiction of our advancing to spiritual maturity during our lives on earth. If I'm already complete, how can I advance? That's this seemingly contradiction. In Colossians 1, 22 and 23, we're in verse 22. Jesus Christ desires to present you, to present us experientially holy at the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, the if clause of verse 23, which states our responsibility to continue to live in the Holy Spirit. So, very simply stated, the seeming contradiction. One, you're complete in Christ. Two, He wants to present you holy at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, wait a minute. What's going on here? You are complete in Christ for salvation. For everything required of salvation, you are complete. Nothing is lacking. But for the judgment seat of Christ, which every one of us must attend right after the rapture, oh, I can't wait for the rapture. Well, be slow on that. Are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? See? Now, you want to be holy and ready for rewards there. So this is a totally different deal than being complete in Christ for salvation. Any questions on that? Okay, point six. This is passing from spiritual death to spiritual life in Jesus Christ. 3:1, therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, question, who raised us up with Christ? Colossians 2:12 answers your question. Having been buried with Him, died with Christ in baptism, being identified with Christ in His resurrection, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith. See, our non-meritorious part in salvation in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. Yes. I'm sorry?
Died with Christ in baptism?
Baptism? Oh, it's not talking about water baptism. is talking about the baptism that we experience when we believe in Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes us, identifies us with Christ. Okay? It's not water baptism. It's a spiritual identification with Christ. Now, our passage says, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith, a non-meritorious part of salvation by faith, in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. He raised Him and raised us. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, are declared to have raised Jesus Christ, and therefore to raise us up together with Christ at the point of faith in Christ. Any questions? All right. You know, if I had a group of 10,000, I'd never get through those. I'd never get through if. What do you mean, if this, if that, but here, we're small enough, you can ask questions. I want to be sure you got this. We're here to learn and grow, not remain children, tossed about by the winds of life. Okay. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ by God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, with the definite article, with the Christ, is actually what the Greek says, and in the locative case should be with or even in the Christ. With or even in the Christ. Therefore, since you have been raised up in the Christ. Now, before we come to the apodosis, the so what clause, let's take a look at what being raised up with Christ does for us. It amazes me how many Christians are so anxious to take away someone's salvation because of someone's sin or sin pattern. They like to talk about the cross, but these people, sin is more powerful to them than the work of Christ on the cross. Don't ever do that. People, the work of Christ's work on the cross is more powerful than any sin or sin pattern that a believer may commit. And yes, believers commit the most voracious of crimes and sins. Don't be startled by that.
Point of acceptance of Jesus Christ?
Yes. We're buried with Him, raised up with Him.
Okay.
Buried with Him, raised up with Him to a new life. It happens as quickly as water baptism does. That reminds me of Jody Brown. Had the privilege of baptizing his wife. His new wife, Kim, and he said, I held her down, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. And when she started kicking, I let her out. He was kidding. Come on. Okay. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, with the definite article, with the Christ, now, it's amazing how many Christians are so anxious to take away someone's salvation because of a pattern of sin. They like to talk about the cross, but these people's sins are more powerful than the work of Christ on the cross. Don't ever do that. Please understand that the second anyone believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, God the Holy Spirit baptizes them, identifies them in Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the name of that doctrine. This cannot be undone. Think about all the things you want God to undo. And now He's got to unbaptize people in Christ. How's that possible? It's a miracle we were baptized in Christ. Don't compound the miracle trying to figure out how to get out of it. See? All right. Once God, the Holy Spirit, baptizes or places someone in Christ, that's it. No one can undo what God has done, not even the sinner himself. Sin cannot undo the work of Christ on the cross. There are a lot of things that happen when a believer lives a carnal and spirit and sinful life. But the loss of salvation is not one of them. There are a multitude of things we could talk about in living a carnal, sinful life. But loss of salvation is not one of them. Now, then, as a result of our being raised up with Christ, we are positioned in Christ, or the doctrine of positional sanctification, a term that Bob Thiem originated, but it's effective and powerful. position. This is your position, sanctified forever. And again, you cannot lose being sanctified or set apart in Christ. That's something else God would have to undo. Unsanctify us. What kind of God do these people have? We now come to the so what. So what that we have been raised up with Christ? What does that matter? I didn't feel it. I love the movie Tender Mercies, Robert Duvall. It's one that he received Academy Award nomination. And they were coming back from the church in a truck. And the little boy was baptized Robert Duvall was baptized. And the little boy looked up to him and says, "I don't feel any different, do you?" And Robert Duvall said, "No, I don't feel any different either." And you won't. Now, some people have an emotional experience, but most it's reality. Okay. Now, what difference does it make? All right. First of all, it sets you apart for all eternity to spend eternity with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That in itself is to be given thanks for. But it should also make a difference in how we live. Recently in the news, there's been a great celebration over the birth of a new prince in England, given on historical name, Louis. Well, there are just things as he grows up in the English royalty that he can and cannot do. You don't do that. You're royalty. Markle, I mean, bless her heart, she's married into royalty. She gave up a lot. There are a lot of things she's not going to be able to do now. Why not? She's royalty. Just by that. So, we are royalty. We are in Christ. Don't feel sorry for them. Think of your reward in being in Christ. See? If you have been born again, 1 Peter 1:23, born from above, John 3:3, you are born into the royal family of God. You're royalty. I don't know if you watched all that stuff yesterday. I don't get off on it, but a lot of people do. All that kind of thing. I did watch the colored bishop, and boy, that turned the British people upside down. He went in there. He taught them things they he'd never heard, nor the way that they heard it. And it blew a lot of their mind if you didn't see it. But anyway, and I loved everything he said. It's Christ-centered. Very good. Except being redeemed by love. No, you're not redeemed by loving as Christ loved. You do not redeem yourself. Christ redeemed. That's where you try to make more out of love than's there. Don't make more out of spiritual love. Don't make less. But don't make more than what's there. Now, you are in the family of God. Family of Christ. And yes, this should make a big difference in how we live. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, the Christ, keep seeking the things above. People, you've got to know who you are. One of the things my mother used to say that I hate, I understand it now, I guess. Why can't I do that? All the other kids can do it because I said so. Well, la-dee-da. But that was the rule of our house. I couldn't do that. See? It didn't matter what all the other kids got to do. Her rule was different. And we had to just shake her head and walk off. I don't understand that, but okay, I understand what happens if I don't do it. Now that I do understand, so I don't obey. But just certain things that we want to do as Christ. This is keep seeking the things above. This is the first imperative of direction of our lives in the next two chapters, chapter 3 and 4. To seek is the present active imperative of the Greek verb, meaning to seek after, to strive for, to pursue something daily in your life. It means to decide that something is worth searching for, pursuing after. When a young person enters college, they set their sights on a degree. We should set our sights on receiving rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. The present tense here is your life. Keep on seeking. Keep on pursuing. keep on endeavoring to obtain, no matter the cost. People, I hope, if you're married, you're the man, you met her, that's what I want. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to direct my thoughts, my actions to pursue it. This is what I want. Once you make up your mind of that, this is what I want. Well, she doesn't like what you like here. Well, I'm not worried about that. This is what I want. Well, she did. But whatever it is, you find and you seek it. No other girl is important now. Nothing else is important. This is what is important. This is the way we should be with Christ. This is what is important to my life. Seek it every day. Keep on desiring this every day in your life. The active voice, the believer himself, must produce the action of the verb. You have to produce the action of this verb. He, she does this by walking, living in the Holy Spirit, who will guide them in local church where the Word of God is taught, verse by verse, doctrine by doctrine. This morning, 9:15 class, Jesus Christ told the disciples, I'm leaving. They were completely confused now. Because since they met him some 3 years ago, they have followed him. And Christ said, I'm leaving and you will seek me. And so we spent a few moments noting their salvation, noting their call. Walked up to Matthew. Matthew sitting in a tax booth of all places. Christ walked up to him, looked at him and said, follow me. He got up and followed. Peter and his brother, follow me. They were out fishing. Follow me. They dropped their nets and followed him. They've been following him for 3 years. They've been listening to him teach. They've been watching him perform miracles. They've been with him night and day. And now he's going to leave. What's going to happen? How can we follow you now? Therefore, they're setting up the need of a new commandment, love as I've loved, and a new power source, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But they were really troubled by this. How can we follow you if you're leaving and we can't come? Where I'm going, you can't go. How can we follow you? I've been out of life for 3 years following you. What do you mean you're leaving? So they had to make up their mind to follow him, and that was what Christ is dealing with in the new commandment. So the active voice is that we have to make up our mind that we're going to live in the Spirit and therefore building our lives on following him. Now, the imperative mood. This is where it gets tough. I should spend an hour on the imperative mood. Not going to. We've studied it. It's on the internet. The imperative mood. But the imperative mood is the furthest removed from reality. This means not many believers will do this their whole life. Some never even get started. Some get it for a while and then get old, get other interests, and move on. The imperative mood is used to convey the desire of God for each one of us. This is his desire placed in the imperative mood. You make time to do what you want to do, people. If you want to watch a TV show, you will make time. I'll miss Bible class. I'll miss this. I'll miss that. I'll not go in. But I'm going to watch this program. If you want to be in Bible study, you'll be there. Don't give me any excuses. You'll be there. Those are excuses. If you want to take time to relax in your life, you will. You will do it. You'll take off a day, an hour, whatever it is, a vacation. You'll do it if that's what you want to do. You want to take time to pray? You will. You won't say, I don't have time to pray. I've got to pray now. I've got to set aside this time, and I'm going into prayer. Yes, we're to pray throughout the day, all the time talking to the Father. Setting time prayer. Got to pray for these young people. Got to pray for camp. Got to pray for Christ in their life at camp. Got to pray for the teachers, the counselors, the people teaching with them. Got to pray. I got to pray for myself. Got to pray for my marriage. Got to pray for my church. Got to pray for my life. Got to pray. If you want to, you will. If you don't want to, don't give God an excuse. I like to pray, God, but I don't have time. I got to go play now. I got to go watch TV. I got to go make money. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. Well, you've made your decision. It's your decision. Don't try to cop on God. You can cop on people. Don't try to cop on God. Seek the things above. If you want to, you will. If you really want to, you do what you really want to do. Therefore, since you have been raised up in the Christ, keep seeking, keep desiring, keep making the decisions to obtain the things above. See that adverb above? Refers to heaven, specifically the third heaven, where the throne of God is. We are introduced to this glorious place in the first book that God gave us, Job chapter 1. Question. Here's a good question now. This is a Martha question. Here's your question. How are we supposed to seek things we cannot see and have never seen? We have not physically been in heaven, so how can we seek the things above? I'm so thankful you asked. That's a good question. Let's see what we can answer. One, first of all, this is our place of birth. This is where you were born. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to them, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again. Actually, the Greek says, born from above. See? He cannot see the kingdom of God. Two, therefore, this is where your citizenship is. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. So we start off seeking the things above. Where you see, this is where you're from. This is where your citizenship is. Okay? Therefore, point three. Now, we learn this is where our Savior physically sits right now at the right hand of God in heaven. So three things you already know. This is where you're from. This is your citizenship. This is where Christ is right now. Does that help you? No. All right. Point four. So, how are we to know what to seek for? We are positionally in Christ, but we are alive here on earth. So how are we to know what to seek, and for that matter, how in the world are we supposed to seek it if it's in heaven? Five, first of all, we do know one thing for sure. Whatever it is not related to earth. Boom, there goes 1,000 things I've been seeking. Right up front, they're gone. For the earth will pass away. So, we can rest about pursuing wealth or things on this earth. We can rest about pursuing happiness from source of this earth. We have a very dear and rich statement in our nation's Declaration of Independence. The pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. It is up to each individual to decide what their happiness is, and how to obtain it, and then pursue it. For us in Christ, that means happiness is not found on earth. Happiness is not found in things on earth. It's found in the spiritual things. Point six, we'll come back to this step defining as we move through our study, what we are to pursue, but we know that, one, it is related to Jesus Christ. Therefore, I know I want to learn all I can about Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be doing in camp. Two, it's related to heaven. So we can include, three, seeking rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, now I got to go back over all those notes and then see how to do what I have to do to get rewards. See? If it's related to heaven, rewards are given to heaven. It's about heaven. I want to seek rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. See? So we know that it directly involves and is dependent upon our dependency and seeking the rewards of the judgment seat of Christ. Right? Four, filling of the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Five, growth in the knowledge of the Word of God. And of God abides forever. See, the Word of God abides forever. You seek your happiness in the Word of God, it abides forever. That will abide forever. Six, it includes spiritual love. Spiritual love is loving as Jesus Christ loves. Jesus Christ is going to be here eternally. So if it's in spiritual love, it'll be here eternally. Seven, it includes all things spiritual, eternal, and final. Eight, glorifying Jesus Christ, for we will do that for all eternity. So here you have a handful of things directing you how to pursue the things above. Why should we seek the things above? Glad you asked. Your passage answers it. Look what it says. This is where Christ is. This is where Christ is. Seek the things above where Christ is. If you ever truly love someone, you will notice if it's true, because if it is true, you desire to be with them. You pursue them. You seek them. You want to be with them. What's important to them becomes important to you. Jesus Christ is no longer here on earth. We ask the question, where is Christ? Where is Christ? He is presently seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is seated. Actually, this is a present participle and should be translated sitting at the right hand of God, referring to God the Father. Therefore, since you have been raised up in the Christ, keep seeking, keep desiring, keep making decisions to obtain the things above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. I'll tell you what, I was shocked and so pleased with the Bishop from America yesterday in the ordination. He thought, Jesus is not here. He's up there in heaven. He's where we're not. And I mean, he made it very clear. I was just blown away with the amount of theology he threw at these Englishers. And it was just beautiful, all that he had to say. And he said it in a way that I'm sure just freaked them out. But that's okay. That's okay. He gave them the news. All right. Now, so this is where he is seated. He is seated. Present, active, participle. This should bring to mind the great arrogant debate among the disciples of the Lord. Remember this debate? James and John, as to which one will sit on the right hand of God in the kingdom, millennial kingdom. Mark 10, 35-40. Sitting on the right hand is a place of honor, a place of power. Satan lusts after being able to sit at the right hand of God. He is so jealous that Jesus, a human being, born of woman, is sitting where he should be sitting. He cannot stand it. He is so jealous of this. That's why he is a devout enemy of Jesus Christ. And of you, if you decide you want to make Christ your life. And people, he does not want these young people to know about Jesus Christ in this level. Please be in prayer for their protection. Please be in prayer for their protection to get there. And that week, please pray for their protection. That the Holy Spirit can open their hearts, their minds, a desire to be with Christ. All right? There are many important things about Jesus Christ we need to know. That he is God. As God became man at the incarnation, lived the perfect life, sinless, therefore qualified to go to the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session. Where Christ is, should be sitting at the right hand of God. Now, this is where your home is. Therefore, should be where your heart dwells upon. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be in heaven. These things that happen on earth, I didn't get the house I wanted, the car I wanted, didn't get this, didn't get that. These are earthly things. But you know what? One day I'll be with Jesus Christ in heaven. It's very powerful if you think about it. Two, this introduces an amazing reality of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Being seated at the right hand of God. He has the place and power to provide us with everything spiritual we need in this life. Colossians 2:19, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Jesus Christ, God, sitting right there, God, they need this. God, read this week, read John 17. You're reading the prayer of Jesus Christ. Note how you are the center of that prayer. He desires for your well-being. Not to take us out of this world, not to take us out of dilemmas, frustrations, but to provide for us in the midst of those things. John 17 is a powerful chapter. As in John 14:3, I go to prepare a place for you. This is the first declaration of the rapture. I go to prepare a place for you. Then he will say, where I am, there may be also. I will come again and receive you himself, that where I am, there you may be. And when he comes to take us back with him, that we may be together with him for all eternity. John 18:24. Father, I desire also whom you... Actually, this is John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am. John 17:24. So that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. Let's note a summary. One, so that when we, point three, when we appeal to Jesus Christ through His Spirit, we have access to the throne of God. Think about that. When we pray to the Father in the name of the Son, you know what that means? That means in His authority. He's sitting right there with the Father. Right there. Jesus Christ could say, they don't care, just leave it alone. Or, let's answer that one. It's amazing what goes on at the right hand of God. Okay, His ascension and session are crucial to Colossians 3:1. One, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ is capable of space travel. The humanity of Jesus Christ and His resurrected body traveled through two heavens to the third heaven, to get to the presence of the Father. John 21:17. There is no John 29. Think about this. Jesus Christ has traveled billions and billions of light years instantly to arrive at the Father's heavenly throne. Da da da. So will you. Ha ha. Now, yes.
We appeal to Jesus Christ through His Spirit, is that through the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
Okay.
His Spirit that He gave us.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, point two of the summary of the resurrection, ascension, and session. Ascension is going up. Session, seated, where He is now seated. Okay, seated. Once He arrived there, He was seated at the right hand, the right side of the Father. Psalm 110:1. The Lord, God the Father, says to my Lord, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. My master thesis was on Psalm 110 in Dallas. God the Father said these words to the humanity of Christ, not to His deity. Deity can't sit. This is fulfilled in Romans 8:34. Who is the one who condemns? People, don't let anyone deceive you. All unbelievers will stand condemned. Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who all was raised, resurrection, who is at the right hand of God. Where is Jesus Christ right now? Not a mystery. Sitting at the right hand of God the Father. What a wonderful place for Him to be for our help. Session of Christ, sitting. Who also intercedes for us? This is one of the things He's doing for us daily. Give thanks for Him where He is. 3, we're told exactly where He is above from Ephesians 1:20, which He, God the Father, brought about in Christ when He, God, raised Him, Jesus Christ, from the dead and seated Him, Jesus Christ, at His, God the Father's, right hand, ascension and session, in the heavenly places. Is not there, in the heavenlies. Point 4. What was the task that Jesus Christ had to perform before He could sit down at the right hand of God? Answer, Hebrews 1:3. And He always has, if it He is, always has been, always will be, the radiance of His, God the Father's, glory, and the exact representation of His, God the Father's, nature, and upholding all things. Science thinks it's gravity. You and I know better. It's Jesus Christ. By the word of His power, when He had made purification of sins, cross work, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty, God the Father, on high in the heavenlies. Also Hebrews 10:12. That but He, Jesus Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sins, for all sins, for all time, spiritual death, sat down at the right hand of God. Any questions? Okay, let's go to the 5th one. The ascension, going up, session, being seated, of Jesus Christ is the basis for His victory in the angelic conflict. Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels has He, God the Father, said, sit at My right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? God said this to no angel, but He said it to a member of the human race, one of us, seated at the right hand of God. Boy, don't you think that makes Satan furious? 1 Peter 3:22. Who, Jesus Christ, is at the right hand, having gone into heaven, after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to Him? The victory's already won, people. Claim what's already yours. Nutshell, look at the order of events of the angelic conflict. Angels were created before man in the prehistoric world. 2, many angels followed Satan in his revolt against Jesus Christ. Whoa, what?
Didn't Satan revolt way before Jesus?
Where are we now?
Jesus is time. Always has been.
Way before His incarnation.
Okay.
Wait a second. We're talking about eternity past here, and she wants to know if Satan had already revolted.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
This world, in a previous time, God created angels and they were on earth. There was a revolt. God took all the fallen angels, those that voted against Him, and put them into the deep. That brings us to Genesis 1:1. And Genesis 1:2. And so there we have the earth now, the world, covered with frozen water. The Holy Spirit moves over. In the deep, and that's a mythological term as well as biblical, it's the place of demons. It's the deep, it's the ocean. The deep, the waters, the sea. So here is where all of them have been cast. Okay? Alright. Now, so, 2, many angels followed Satan in his revolt against Jesus Christ. 3, all the angels who followed Satan are known as fallen angels or demons, and along with Satan were cast into the deep. I spent, I don't know how many hours studying the deep. It's in mythology, which has nothing to do with the Bible. Just start studying mythology, especially Near Eastern mythology, not Greek mythology. Not about the gods and all that, but about Middle Eastern theology or mythology, which goes way back before Greek mythology. And you will learn about the deep. And that's where the fallen angels are gone, or placed. In Revelation 13, the demon rises out of the deep. The sea rises out. That's where they've been cast. The false prophet, in verse 12 of Revelation 13, rises out of the land, Israel. So these are the things going on. If you understand these things, so many passages of Scripture start opening up. Point four. Jesus Christ then restored the earth, Genesis 1-2, the earth to and following to the present earth, and created the creature, mankind, who fell and followed Satan in the garden, and were now in Satan's kingdom of darkness under condemnation. Satan has ruled the earth since the garden until the millennium. It's his rule. Always know that. It's his rule. We live in his kingdom of darkness. It's his rule. Okay. Now, point five. Jesus Christ as God came in the form of humanity, died on the cross, taking away the sin barrier. Now mankind, both believers and unbelievers, are in the angelic conflict. Six, after the removing of the sin barrier, Jesus Christ defeated the angels and the angelic conflict. This is what we learned in Colossians 2:15. You remember, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, that is through Christ. Now, I'm sure every one of you has seen enough movies of Rome, where the Caesars would go through the streets of Rome and have their captives brought behind them, the slaves, people they've captured. That's what Jesus Christ did with the angels. The lookers were the elect angels. And he said, see, here are all of your compadres. They've fallen. Here's what's happening to them. That's what Colossians 2:15 was about. Seven, then came the resurrection. Eight, in his resurrected body. People, one reason I'm giving you so many points in this message, I want you to understand the sequence of things. Get it clear. Let it be something that's just part of your life. Okay, point eight. In his resurrected body, Jesus Christ went into Tartarus, the compartment where the fallen angels of Genesis 6 were imprisoned until the great white throne judgment. Jesus Christ went there to deliver to them and to those fallen angels the news that he, Jesus Christ, had been victorious over their chief Lucifer, now Satan, in his victorious proclamation. This is talked about 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also died, spiritual death, for sins once and for all. The just, Jesus Christ, for the unjust, all members of the human race. So that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. 19, continuing the passage, in which, by means of which the Holy Spirit, also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once, Genesis 6, were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. So the victorious proclamation made to those angels. Now, point nine. We, all believers in Jesus Christ in the church age, are not told to fight the devil, but to stand firm and put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. 10, the second advent at the end of the tribulation will conclude with God the Father making all the enemies of Jesus Christ the footstool of Christ. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. I kept looking in the night vision, this is Daniel, and behold, with a cloud of heaven, clouds of heaven, one like a son of man coming. And he, Jesus Christ, came up to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, given by God the Father, dominion, glory, and a kingdom, the millennial kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language on the earth might serve him. This is during the millennium. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Also, Revelation 20, 1-3. Then I, John, saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil, and Satan. Note all the titles of Satan. The dragon, serpent of old, the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. That's what he's been doing. That's what he's doing today. All you have to do is study the Middle East today and talk about deceiving the nations. And they're going on in the United Nations being deceived. Okay. No longer. Until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Zechariah 13:2, Colossians 2:15. Point 11. At the end of the millennium, at the great white throne judgment, Satan and all the demons will be cast into an eternal lake of fire, and all members of the human race who chose not to believe in Jesus Christ will also be cast with the fallen angels. Revelation 20. The ascension and session of Jesus Christ was the beginning of a new dispensation and a new priesthood. That is, Jesus Christ is now the high priest. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now, the main point of this, main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now, as a high priest, Jesus Christ needs his own priesthood, which is being made up of believers in the church age, you and me. Ephesians 1:20, which he, God the Father, brought about in Christ when he raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominions, angelic realm, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he, God the Father, put all things in subjection under his, Jesus Christ's feet, and gave him his head over all things in the church, which he is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, because of this, he gave to every believer in Jesus Christ the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that happened in the church age, and all these things causes every believer in the church age to be intensified stage of the angelic conflict. You are intensified in it because, one, you're a believer in Christ, two, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That puts you at a target of Satan and his demons. They cannot stand that. Alright? Now, the ascension and session of Jesus Christ completed the glorification, the humanity of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:9, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name. Now Colossians 3:1, therefore, it's our passage, since you have been raised up in the Christ, keep seeking, keep desiring, keep making decisions to obtain the things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Now, yes?
Good question. Which translation do you have? Because mine doesn't tell that it's the first class edition. You just revealed that it does, that you have a translation that actually says since instead of if. Some people don't.
Well, in the Greek, it's a first class condition.
I know.
Since.
But I don't know which translation I have, and it probably isn't a very good one. I know that you have a good one. Yeah. Which one is it?
That's one of the problems with translations.
Just translation.
American Standard.
Thank you.
I'm using the American Standard. New American Standard. Yeah, I'm using the New American Standard. Yeah. I really like it.
look at that. And they might be in doubt. And that was one of the things that helped me a lot, learning those conditional
clauses. I like the New American Standard for that reason. I went into seminary a thundering King James. And I came out of Dallas Seminary a thundering New American Standard. Because I found, as I was sitting at my desk, well, I kind of working out my the Greek or the Hebrew, and I'm saying, you know what? This one has it just simply stated. I think I'll just stay with that. And there are a lot of pastors who use the New American Standard. Hal Lindsey does. And
the issue is that you started with the New American Standard, and what you've done here is, as we've gone along, you've updated the translation based upon your understanding of the
Greek. Yes, I've changed it. I've added things that even the New American Standard has things like that I'd rather refine a little bit. Not a whole lot. Okay, Colossians 3. Now, Colossians verse 2. And let's see. I'll tell you what. Let's start verse 2 next Sunday morning. How about that? Yeah, definitely. We'll start verse 2 next Sunday morning. So, Kent, we're a couple of pages ahead of ourselves, and we'll begin here. All right, people, I hope verse 1 has made its point. You've been raised up with Christ, therefore it should make a difference in how you live. If it doesn't make a difference in how you live, rethink your position. Rethink your thinking. Who you are in Christ. It should change how you think about things. Don't become so overly depressed about things on this earth. How I look, what I have, what I don't have, all this kind of stuff, all related to the earth. In eternity, we're going to have a body like His. Have a body like His. Doesn't matter. And that's for all eternity. Don't let these things get in the way. In arrogance or in disappointment. Find your happiness in things above. And I've given you a list of things start thinking about on things above. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is so much to grasp, but you've given us the Holy Spirit that we might grasp it. Jesus Christ told the disciples, I have many things to teach you, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot grasp them now, but I'll send you the Spirit, and then you'll be able to. So Father, I pray your Spirit will give us the ability to grasp things in Colossians 3:1, to the point that it makes a difference in our lives. I pray, Father, your Spirit can use these things to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.